the big things is, you know, I've seen a lot of bad stuff in my career, but what my mental health issues were coming from were like seated in my childhood. And it was something I tried to ignore and push back, and I compensated and ended up creating this whole second human that was not healthy in any way, shape, or form. Talking about mental health and talking about feelings is just as normal as talking about the crazy call that you ran yesterday. Like, those are all normal conversations to us, and they all need to stay on that same baseline. I've had a lot of people reach out and say that they got into the fire service or became EMTs or paramedics because of the videos, which I think is incredible. Oh, I want to do that. Like, I want to see that patient. Like, that's incredible. It's so, so cool.
Welcome to Respond to Resilience. Along with my co-host, Bonnie Rimley, LCSW EMT, and Dr. Stacy Raymond, I'm David Dashinger. In this episode, we'll be speaking with Jason Patton. He's a firefighter paramedic. He's the vice president of Fire Department Coffee, and he's the creator of Fire Department Chronicles. We'll be talking about firefighter and first responder mental health and wellness. We invite you to like and subscribe our YouTube channel, Responder Resilience, Facebook, Responder Wellness Inc., and Responder TV, bbsradio.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the podcast platforms, and check out our website, respondertv.com. We'll be right back to speak with Jason after this.
In this family, more of us die by our own hands than by the hazards of the job.
In this family, up to a quarter of 911 telecommunicators have symptoms of post-traumatic stress.
In this family, our mental health and wellness are in crisis,
while responders are quietly suffering.
In this family, many struggle with job-related stress,
burnout, trauma, sleep disruptions, substance abuse,
and relationship problems.
In this family, we can help the helpers.
With vital information and resources,
resilience strategies,
and success stories of overcoming the obstacles.
In this family, no one is alone.
Welcome to Respond to Resilience with co-hosts retired Lieutenant David Dashinger, Dr. Stacy Raymond, and Bonnie Rimley, LCSW EMTB.
This episode is made possible by Rebound by Restore Ear, revolutionary cold therapy for hearing loss prevention. To learn more, visit RestoreEar.com. That's RestoreEar.com.
And today we're joined by Jason Patton. He's a 15-year firefighter paramedic at the South Florida-based Fire Department. He's also the creator and star of the popular social media series Fire Department Chronicles, which has amassed a combined following of 8 million followers and 55 million total monthly views. Jason's also the vice president of and co-owner of Fire Department Coffee, and he's traveled the United States extensively for keynote addresses in front of thousands of first responders, talking about subjects ranging from mental health, resiliency, and adapting humor to increase firefighter retention. Jason, a warm welcome to Respond to Resilience.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's great to have you. I know we're in the amongst those followers, so
that's perfect. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Now I've been watching those videos for a couple of years now. So
yeah.
So funny. Anyway, yeah. When I think of where it came from, I don't even understand how I'm right here. So it all started like 2016 or something like that. And it's been a journey. Every once in a while, like one of my old videos will pop up. I'll be like, all right, that's how this began. All right.
Come on. Yeah, it's amazing that you're still able to do all the things you're doing, including working, you know, on the job full time, and and you know, the fact also that it circulates. Bonnie and Stacy being therapists, how it circulates in terms of supporting mental health is, I think it's a beautiful thing.
I appreciate it. I think that was, it kind of fell into that over time, literally from the beginning. I'd say probably about 3 months into making videos, I was more on Snapchat at the time. And the guy reached out and he said, he was in a department just north of me, he said that he and his guys went on this really, really bad car accident, like multiple dead people, like a family, that kind of thing. And they get back to the station. Like, how do you process that? I mean, that's incredibly hard to process. So they said it was kind of like they're just sitting around the table and somebody popped up a video, just happened to be mine. They chuckled for a second and it kind of lifted a little bit of the fog, and they were kind of able to move forward, whether it's my videos or Firefighter Fan or somebody else. I think it's just good to sometimes break that little bit of silence there to hopefully move forward.
So I wanted to start off by asking you, did you always want to be a fire medic?
So I had zero I didn't even understand firefighting or EMS or anything when I got into it. I was a mechanic. Many people have heard this, a horrific mechanic. I was not good at it at all. So my father was a mechanic, so that's why I got into it. My dad was incredible. He was so detail-oriented. He ended up becoming a general contractor and doing incredible work. Like, he was good at like crown molding, which, if anyone knows anything about that, it's very detail-oriented. So, a buddy of mine came. He's like, hey, man, I just finished EMT school. You should try it out. And I was like, all right, you know, I'll try it out. And went there and just – I fell in love with it. It was just so cool. This is the first time I was in school where I genuinely loved learning the information. I dropped out in high school in ninth grade. And so I got my GED. I ended up graduating, or get my GED before my class graduated, and it all worked out. But it's the first time I was actually inspired by school, and it's just been an incredible journey since then.
Well, also a few years ago, you became an advocate for first responder mental health. Can you talk a little bit about that journey and what led you there?
Yeah. Like I said, when the videos first started coming out, people were reaching out saying it helped. And then just over time, I felt more of a draw pull to kind of address it directly. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to, my first video that I wanted to do it with, I wanted it to be really raw, like about as raw as you could get. And I was happy being the comedian that actually talked about it, because it's so difficult for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And most people that are talking about it, that's kind of what their platform's about. So I wanted to kind of switch gears and address it. And one of the big things is, you know, I've seen a lot of bad stuff in my career, but what my mental health issues were coming from were like seated in my childhood. And it was something I tried to ignore and push back, and I compensated and ended up creating this whole second human that was not healthy in any way, shape, or form. And I finally got to a head. It was really bad, you know, fantasizing about suicide, that kind of thing. Went saw a therapist, and it was amazing. And I wanted to tell people about that. My life was impacted by suicide very young. My dad's best friend killed himself, and I talked about it, and the response was incredible. It was so cool.
Yeah, I think having seen it, one of your videos where you're talking about what you just described, one of the things that makes it so powerful is that, you know, you're known as being, you know, a comedian and showing the lighter side of life and a first responder community. And to hear you talk about those things makes it that much more powerful, because it shows that we're all human beings and we all have struggles, and also that there's tools out there that can help us to overcome them. So speaking about those tools, Jason, what do you think? I mean, we have things out there, peer support, CISD, CISM, even seeing embedded clinicians now. What do you think we can be doing better moving forward with mental health in the world of firefighting?
Yeah, I mean, that's such a broad question, just because mental health outside of the fire service is still so stigmatized. Like when people talk about mental health, there's this like – they immediately picture people that are like hugging trees and stuff like that. And it's like, that's not that. Like when I speak on mental health, I'm like, everybody at some point in time has to focus on their mental health. In fact, I believe that mental health is the baseline of any other health, whether it's physical health, intellectual health, all that. Like, you, a good solid baseline of, you know, feeding into your own mental health, whether it's working out, whether it's talking to a therapist. I love that you said tools. I say therapists don't fix your problems. They give you the tools to be able to work on it yourself. Uh-huh. Right. Uh-huh. And I just think it's a really big thing. And then I think in the field itself, it just has to be talked about. I don't think it's an immediate fix. I think it's like the cancer initiatives. No one could walk out and say, start wash your gear right now. Because in the beginning, we didn't want to do it. It was like, no, my gear is like black now. It was tan before, but now it's black. Yeah. It's cool, right? It shows that I fight more fires. And it just took more time and knowledge and education to be able to get guys to buy into it, guys and girls. And I think that's kind of it. It's just a slow burn. But eventually we'll understand that talking about mental health and talking about feelings is just as normal as talking about the crazy call that you ran yesterday. Like, those are all normal conversations to us, and they all need to stay on that same baseline.
Right.
According to recent studies, over half of firefighters report changes to their hearing since entering the fire service. This can be attributed to exposure to loud noise. Over time, special cells in our ears, which transmit auditory information to our brain, become damaged or die due to an inflammatory response, resulting in noise-induced hearing loss. However, there is a solution. Therapeutic hypothermia, commonly known as cooling, can reduce inflammation and injury. take control of your hearing health with research-backed Rebound, an effective way to reduce inner ear damage associated with hearing loss after loud noise exposure. Early studies show that wearing Rebound after a fire shift results in better hearing function. Rebound can help protect firefighters' hearing and reduce the risk of long-term damage. Don't wait to protect your hearing. It's time to Rebound. Visit RestoreEar.com to get your Rebound today.
So, Jason, when you're having a bad day, like, what's your go-to as far as self-help?
Cocaine. No, I'm kidding. Don't do cocaine, kids. Don't do cocaine.
It's a pick-me-up, right?
I feel great.
The crash is a real bitch.
I feel great for at least 20 minutes. I think for me, it just depends on the day. Like it's really, and I think that is the hardest struggle with anything, but especially mental health. A lot of people, they want their go-to. Like I work out and I feel better. And that's because they get that appropriate hormone response or dopamine response or whatever it is, and they always feel better. But then that one day they can't do that because of whatever. Well, now I don't have my pick-me-up. So for me, it's different. It's some days I want to work out. Some days the music that I listen to is the other day I was listening to Adele, like squatting. Mm-hmm. Like it was awesome, man. She was grooving me, man. Some days it's talking to my wife. Some days it's just going for a walk, being in the sun, reading. Like I try to find different things. I would say exercise is my number one, but sleeping, dude, giving myself grace. Like if I don't feel like being 100% that day, dude, it's okay. I don't have to be 100% that day. I try to keep a baseline of just being appropriate and nice to people. But in general, man, it varies so heavily on a daily basis. The one thing I try to absolutely never do is drink. I don't want to drink if I'm not feeling good. Now, obviously we know how that ends. So, those that might like, I don't do those things. So,
yeah, I love that you use the word sleep and baseline line together, because probably working a 24-hour schedule, 24/72, 24/48, whatever it is, sleep is probably the one thing that we never have enough of, but we do have some control over on our off days to give ourselves
a nap. Dude, a nap. Like, people are so against naps. They're like, you're lazy if you nap. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to sleep. And I mean, again, 30-minute naps, 45-minute nap, whatever you can get in is so great. But that, man, that's so resetting to the brain. It makes me feel better. It's, if I had a bad night, if I ran, 2 or 3 after midnight, I only got 4 hours of sleep. I think there's this gross like miscommunication when it comes to when you're on calls that you have to be on point and when you're off calls. Say, yes, we have to be the person in the room at all times that is ready to go if we're in an emergency call. Like we need to be on point because we're saving someone's life. But when we leave there, we don't have to be that person anymore. Like we don't have to be the strongest person in the room. We can talk about something. And a lot of times identifying our own thought processes can kind of spiral into other people's thought processes, and we realize we're all on the same page. We can get through it, validate some thought processes and feelings, and then I can actually move on.
Well, to your point, the more that we talk about it and the more, you're saying all the things that help you, but the more we give people permission to just do basic care of themselves. We're not even talking about anything elaborate or expensive. We're talking about getting good sleep, getting good nutrition, taking care of your mental health. It's the more we normalize all of it, I think that's where the change happens. And I think that's why I love, you're known for the comedy stuff, but I think using that platform to get these messages out is such a no-brainer. And I'm really grateful that you're doing that, because I think people will listen. And the more of us that are saying these things, the more people will have to listen to us.
Yeah.
You had an interesting presentation called How to Hug 101. And I'll tell you a funny story about the Fire EMS Expo up in Connecticut with hugs. But tell us about that.
So I started traveling around, going to different conferences, watching people speak. And it was incredible to watch. Like, I'm into mental health, so I like hearing about this stuff. And I think most people are just unaware of the subject, or they don't know how to approach it. It's the first time walking into EMT class for them, or first time walking into fire school. Like, what am I walking out of with this? And excuse me. I kept going to all these conferences, and it just seemed to be that there was really two types of presenters. There was the clinicians that were presenting incredible, like, database stuff that was really saying, like, hey, listen, a lot of guys that are killing themselves are not doing it because they want to. Their frontal lobe has actually been, like, shrinking over time. And, you know, their judgment center is gone. They don't understand that X equals Y, you know, that kind of thing. So, and then you have guys that are telling their stories, and they're incredible stories, but they are so powerful, so emotionally draining. You know, by the time they're done with that, you're like, holy crap. Yeah. This is like, wow. And you see 10 of those in a row, and you know, you kind of leave there like, oh, okay, so I am going to kill myself. This is an inevitability. I might as well start making plans. Like, that kind of thing. So I think, you know, I saw that and I was like, there's got to be something in between. Just a real, like, you are human. This is a normal expression of human emotions, and it doesn't mean you have to continue down. Like you feel this, you say, I feel this, and sometimes that can rectify it, you know, or at least put you on a better path. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I formed How to Hug 101. It's literally, it's a 35 to 45 minute speech about how extreme anger. I always say that firefighters are comfortable with expressing two emotions, extreme anger and extreme happiness. Like, they're extremely pissed at that dude from farting around the station. They're extremely happy because they punched him in the face, you know. But it's everything in between. We hate, man. We hate expressing, you know, jealousy and being upset or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And we don't like those because they're all in the vulnerability zone. We don't want to feel vulnerable. Mm. Jealousy, none of those things.
Right.
When I've always said that if I'm feeling upset or jealous about something, I just say it to the person. Hey, man, I'm really jealous that you got that. I'm going to be honest, dude, that you got that promotion over me. And they're like, I mean, they could be a complete jerk. Like, well, it's because you suck. That's probably why you feel like, damn it. But, you know, sometimes just verbalizing the word. That's why therapy is so great, man. You go to a therapist and you just vomit emotions onto them for an hour and you walk out. You're like, all right.
Yes, we're vomited on multiple times. Yeah. Like, just man, that's for me.
Yeah. So that was kind of what I formed it. I was like, man, there's got to be just something in between where humor, and obviously there's just a metric ton of humor laced within it. It's just to kind of laugh throughout it. But it's been received very well so far. And I've gotten to be able to travel and talk about it. And it's really fun.
Super cool. Well,
our group, our trauma team, was up at the Fire EMS Expo in Connecticut. And every person in the booth next to us, all these firemen, all the EMS providers, we'd go up and introduce ourselves. And there was a hug ending up happening in there. So one of the fire guys got a piece of paper and he wrote free hugs with a Sharpie and he put it on our booth because he said, you know what? You made my day. He smiled the entire day. And it just reminds you, especially to your point of your talk, it reminds you that little things really do matter. You know, to laugh for 10 seconds, to hug someone, to smile, to say something nice, it can last for hours.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's a good point. Thank you for that.
Of course. Thank you.
Well, in one of your many initiatives that I came across, it also kind of crosses over what we like to talk about, and it's important to us as well, and that's cancer. Did a couple of pieces that I saw that had to do with early detection, and again, infused with comedy, so it's really, you know, easy to digest. Can you speak a little bit about that piece and sort of where your thoughts are in terms of how we can be doing a better job detecting?
Yeah. So it's funny you say detecting, because Detect Together is the name of the organization that I happen to come across. They're a nonprofit organization based out of Marlboro, Massachusetts, I believe, or it's in Massachusetts. But they are incredible. It's I believe it's three or four people that formed it. And the women that are really kind of running the whole thing, they are unbelievable. Trisha and her team. The whole purpose of this was just simply to raise awareness on detecting cancer earlier. And how, you know, it's much easier to treat, stage one than it is stage four, that kind of thing. And they immediately knew the types of videos that I would want to be involved with. And they even allowed me to, like, edit the scripts, which is not common for most people. And it was the early detection of cancer is just so difficult. And I'm, listen, I am one of these people that will, like, my throat will hurt and it'll be hurting for 3 weeks. And I'm like, God, my throat still hurts. And Meg, my wife's like, see, come on, really? Like, just go to the doctor. I'm like, yeah, that's probably smart. So, you know, that is one of their big things, is that if a symptom lasts longer than a certain period of time, then you should go to your doctor and get checked out. Like, it's normal to have changes, physiological changes in your body, but when they last for a certain period, longer than a period of time, then you need to go to the doctor. So it's just a really, really cool thing, man. It's like, it's, I always say, like, we always focus on men when it comes to mental health and cancer stuff. But my first true experience with someone like actively, audibly suppressing their feelings and thought processes was a woman. It was a girl that I was precepting. She failed a test. It was a very simple test. She just failed it because she went too fast. And we were driving back to the station. She started crying. And I look over and she looks at me and she looks back down. And she's like, no. We don't cry. We don't do this. And I was like, all right, let's just stop. Cause that's how you murder kittens. But it was incredible to watch someone audibly try to
or stop themselves,
stop themselves from feeling a very normal feeling. And we talked through it and I was like, this is all normal stuff, man. Like I was talking to my wife the other day, and just my dad died of cancer about 8 years ago, and we started talking about stuff that happened right before he died, and I started crying and going through it, and it felt really good. I think crying's an incredible, very hard feeling, but it's an incredible feeling.
Right.
Yeah.
Back, don't need your keys. Cue the light, cue the camera, cue the action. We going harder, not at all, that's the past. God, read between the lines, no caption. And who am I to pen on who's at? When you sign on, me and Maya, you know we put it on. When you see us, better sign that alone. Put it down, y'all ain't wanna get it wrong. So when you see me sign off, sign off.
I just had to ask you this question. So one of those videos you have what looked to be FDNY firefighters singing and rapping. What was that like to do that scene?
So this is the second time I've kind of worked with FDNY. And it's very intimidating, man. Let me tell you, you walk into a place where The Rock is huge. It is a massive training center. If you ever get the chance to walk through it, you should. Like, they have an actual subway train car. I think it's multiple of them set up so they can practice going in and getting people out. Like, it's unbelievable. It's very cool. But, you know, I think they have 10,000 active duty firefighters, which is psychotic. We have 70 in my department. So it was very cool. It was very cool to deal with it. But the coolest thing was to watch, you know, I believe they are the besides London, I believe they're the second largest fire department in the world. I could be wrong about that, but they are just massive, and they bought into this wholeheartedly. What do you need? Like, they had a bunch of their firefighters and paramedics and EMS personnel, and they're singing, we're having a good time, and we're walking. They give us free rein around their entire place to just walk around and do whatever we need to help with cancer prevention. Well. It was very, like, one of the guys that was acting with me in the videos was an assistant chief. And think about how high that is with 10,000 people, so 12,000. Yeah. So that's crazy.
Wow. What a great experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very cool.
Let me ask you this. What's the most important lesson that you've learned over your career thus far?
Moderation. That moderation is the, which I believe is probably one of the hardest traits to actually take in and subscribe to personally. And I say that with every aspect of my life. I am a firefighter. Bless you.
Thank you.
I'm a firefighter. I'm a paramedic. I love my job. I have literally swam to the bottom of lakes trying to pull people out of cars. I have, assisted pulling out infants out of burning buildings, and I love it, and I believe in it, and I will I could never imagine doing anything else. But when I get off shift, I try not to be that guy. Like I try to, if I need to go on a vacation with my wife and not talk about the job, then I try to do that. If I'm out with the guys that I work with, we try to talk about something besides firefighting or paramedics or whatever it is. So finding moderation within that. But even like I said, with my own personal life, if I try not, if I can't work out one day because I have to go take my daughter somewhere or do whatever, then I try not to beat myself up for that. And I think you can find discipline within moderation, but the moderation is so important all the way across the board.
You know, just knowing how far you've come and all the achievements you've gotten to at this point, you know, I can't wait to see what's to come, but I'm curious if you could go back to your 18-year-old self, what would you say to self?
I don't even know. I don't. Yeah, just, I'd be like, dude, please don't screw this up, man. so mine's like, it's funny because we always say like we'd love to go in the past and change something,
right?
Which mine is just very specific to my dad. Like I would just go back and be like, Dad, you know, your back's hurting. You should probably go get that checked out a little bit earlier. I believe if I went back and talked to my 18-year-old self, I would be proud of myself. I would even say that because I kind of was at a crossroad at 17. I'd already dropped out of high school. I was, you know, get my GED. I was, you know, and I had a choice. I was either going to keep doing stupid stuff or I was going to actually, you know, invest in myself, which I did. I became a mechanic and kind of went from there. But I would probably say go talk to a therapist now because I suffered for whatever it was, 17 years. And you know, eventually, this is like 4 or 5 years ago, finally, you know, talked to somebody about what was going on in my head. and I think I probably wouldn't change anything because I'm not sure if I'd be where I was at if I didn't have that kind of driving factor within me to be better, that kind of thing. So I'd probably give myself a high five, tell me not to date that one girl when I was 22.
Would you say nice hair?
I haven't had hair since I was 16. So I know.
Well, look at it this way. If you hadn't dated that one, you wouldn't know how wonderful your wife is.
God. Yeah. And that's, I swear, I think it's so hard. Sometimes you look back at your past decisions. You're like, oh, I wish I didn't, but I don't know where I would be today. Do you ever see Butterfly Effect?
Yes.
Yeah. Butterfly, he was such, that is like the probably the best example of change one thing and a lot of other things are going to change too.
Yeah. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
And on that thread, in terms of changing things, I love your story about the woman you were precepting and then having that moment. It was really, you know, much broader than just becoming a paramedic, but, you know, becoming a kind of wellness moment, really.
Yeah.
And so when you're interacting with probies, or if you were standing in front of a class of probies, what would you tell them? What kind of advice would you impart?
Yeah, so I get the luck of every time we bring in a new probationary class, I sit down with them and I talk to them about mental health. I talk to them about taking care of themselves, that kind of thing. And I kind of always try to depart the final piece of the conversation with, you know, you are important. You are important, you know, that when you show up on calls, they are important. They need to be taken care of. Don't kill yourself, you know, trying to save someone's life, you know, the whole like risk versus reward stuff. But at the end of the day, if you need to go into your bunk room and sit down for 20 minutes and you know, think about what's going on, then you are important. When you get off shift, you're important. And I think that's something that I really try because we, from the day we walk in to being a firefighter or paramedic or EMT, whatever it is always about patients. It's always about other people, which I agree with. But you, before you became a firefighter, paramedic and EMT, whatever it is, you were a human. You started off as a human. That human's got to be taken care of, and then we can take care of other people.
Yeah. Well, to your point, when I was on duty, I used to check in with all my crew before we touched a bag because all the stuff in the bag is absolutely useless if my head's not in the right space to use the bag.
I agree. And I'm telling you, validation is the number one thing I talk to people about because there's something about like something sitting in your head and like, oh, you know, that baby, I don't know if I was okay with that. And someone going, yeah, dude, I would feel that's normal, man. Like you've seen dead kids or seeing someone who looked just like your father. It's normal to be upset about that. Be like, oh, okay. Like there's something about that kind of lets people move forward with life. They're not, you know, stuck on that thing. Am I weak? Am I not able to prompt? No, dude, that's normal. Oh, okay, cool. Let's go for it.
good for you for just putting it all out there. You know, we love talking to people who can do that, and you're definitely one of them. Switching gears again. There's so many gears, which is great. How did fire department coffee come along? We all know how crucial coffee is in the fire world, tell us a little bit what happened.
Yeah. So funny enough, I make fire department chronicles and start making some fun videos talking about fire and EMS, and we're having a great time. And then, I put this video out about, so we were about to get hit by a hurricane. We got 35 firefighters, paramedics, other city workers, all stuffed into one station together. It is going to be a very interesting next couple days. So we're all getting in there, and I bring up, it was Cafe Bustelo's who it was, and we had a bunch of stacks of these things, and I was like, this is the only thing that's going to stop us from murdering each other. So let's see how this goes. So I put it out on the internet. We have a great time with it. And then, so Luke Schneider, CEO of Fire Department Coffee, someone tags him in the video. He reaches out. He's like, let's work together. I fly out to Illinois, meet him, and kind of moves from there. There was about 6 months in. They'd already opened up a little – it was a storefront, but we didn't have people coming in and purchasing coffee. Started off as an online company. Now we are in about 6,000 retail stores. We just got into Walmart next – we'll be in Walmart early next year. So
that's great.
It's been a journey, and it made me really, really appreciate business, people who create businesses, and it is not easy, man. Not easy at all.
So much goes into it, and as you said, it's such an essential part of fire department culture, and we interviewed Paul Combs, who one of his cartoons is about the power of the coffee pot and all the problems that get solved around the kitchen table or over a cup of coffee, so it's vital.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
According to recent studies, over half of firefighters report changes to their hearing since entering the fire service. This can be attributed to exposure to loud noise. Over time, special cells in our ears, which transmit auditory information to our brain, become damaged or die due to an inflammatory response, resulting in noise-induced hearing loss. However, there is a solution. Therapeutic hypothermia, commonly known as cooling, can reduce inflammation and injury. Take control of your hearing health with research-backed Rebound, an effective way to reduce inner ear damage associated with hearing loss after loud noise exposure. Early studies show that wearing Rebound after a fire shift results in better hearing function. Rebound can help protect firefighters' hearing and reduce the risk of long-term damage. Don't wait to protect your hearing. It's time to Rebound. Visit RestoreEar.com to get your Rebound today.
Well, speaking of all the things you've accomplished and up to this point, what's next for you? What do you have kind of in the wings coming in 2024?
That's a great question, David. I have no clue. I wake up every day with, what are we going to try to do today? So I think we're just going to continue expanding. I think I'm going to continue making chronicles. I am dabbling with the idea of, so I love imparting knowledge is probably my favorite thing. That's like the baseline of all my videos is, having a laugh, a lot of times at my own expense, but kind of imparting knowledge within that, whether it's diabetes or heart attacks or CPR. Some of my favorite ones are fire safety videos or the CPR video that I did. And I really want to impact the younger groups. So I am dabbling with the idea of making a fun, children's book about fire safety. I think it'd be really, really fun. Something that parents, it is very hard to talk to your kids about fire safety. It just is, cause they're like, I don't care what you're saying to me right now. So I would love to make, at least that's my experience with my daughter. I would love to make a children's book that reads like a children's book in a fun way with some of the humor that I love to put in there, but it also kind of gets the fire safety pieces. And then at the end, actually say, like, how do we build this plan together? Let's know what to do.
That's fantastic.
So, thank you.
Yeah. Well, if you ever want to do some funny mental health spoofs, you could do a hybrid event with us and you and come up with some neat materials, because we're going over our goals for the year, trying to figure it out what's next.
Absolutely.
Have you gotten any direct feedback about somebody's life you've changed in terms of recruitment or retention? Like someone saw something you did and they're like, well, you know, the light bulb went off. I want to do this. Or, you know, maybe I can sustain myself in this career a little bit longer.
So I've had a lot of people reach out and say that they got into the fire service or became EMTs or paramedics because of the videos, which I think is incredible. Whether it's me or, you know, firefighter Fenton or fireman Lance, or there's a bunch of nurse influencers, or like, I just think that's great, man. Like watch the videos, laugh. Oh, I want to do that. Like, I want to see that patient. Like, that's incredible. It's so, so cool. And I think that's so cool that there's a bunch of different people out there. So yeah, I've gotten that recently. And this is two of them referencing the same video, which I thought was awesome. I made a video about how to unchoke yourself. And not in a BDSM way. So I make this video and two people reach out. One of them said that they were choking in their house and remembered the video and fell on their couch and was actually able to get the piece of shrimp or steak, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And another woman said that she was at like Disney World or Disneyland and her kids started to choke and she remembered how to do it from a video that I had posted before. Awesome. And remembered how to do the Heimlich. Wow. And got it out. I mean, that was like that.
Wow.
That's insane. She said, my daughter is literally here today because of your video. So
I'm like,
dude, that's crazy.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's great. I saved that one for my chief in case he's like, well, we got to stop this stuff. Save your lives, man. It's hard.
Do you do stuff on shift or how do you work out your schedule of filming with your work schedule?
So I do everything off shift. I try not to ever do anything when I'm there. I mean, I'll answer some emails here and there, but I try not to do anything while I'm on shift. It's I work at a station that averages 16 to 24 calls a shift. So
wow.
My anxiety levels would go through the roof. But it just makes life easier if I can plan when I get off shift and kind of working in between things. Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of great take homes today. And one of them, for me at least, is definitely thinking about how small things really matter. You know, mm-hmm. You made that video about choking and it saved somebody. So you just mm-hmm. never know the impact of the work that we all do in the world.
One sentence changed my life. It was my therapist at the end of one of our sessions. She says, "Do you ever think of it like this? Like maybe this is why it happened because of, you know, this thing when you were younger." And I was like, oh my God. And that was like, it was that massive light bulb moment. And then we still did more sessions after that, but it was like such a cool, I was like, oh my God, that's it. It's like, I don't have to be this person to everybody at all times. Like I can just be me. And it was such a cool, incredible moment. And it changed the trajectory of my life.
Wow.
Well, this I shouldn't have to ask this question, but we do anyway. Where can people find you out there, Jason?
all the channels, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, all the fun stuff. I'm out there. Just whatever you're on, you can come say hi.
Absolutely. We so appreciate you spending the time with us today and everything you're doing out there and the change that you're helping to make in the culture of the fire service, EMS, and I'm sure beyond that. So thank you so much for being with us and sharing your insights.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was hoping Stacy would say thank you.
We have to go start again.
When she gets quiet, it gets scary.
We'd like to invite you to like and subscribe YouTube, Responder Resilience, Facebook, Responder Wellness Inc., and Responder TV, bbsradio.com, all the podcast platforms, and check out our website, respondertv.com, for past episodes and guest information. Till the next time, stay safe, be kind to yourself, take care.
This episode is made possible by Rebound by Restore Ear, revolutionary cold therapy for hearing loss prevention. To learn more, visit restoreear.com. That's RESTOREAR.com.